Life Church.
Yeah.
The one thing I like better than that big sign up there, and that's when the bands start up and you feel that energizing, life-giving flow. Don't you love that?
Yeah.
Give the band a big hand and the singers. Well, over the last 3 years, I have been blessed so many times as I've sat in this congregation and as we've worshipped God and as they lead us in worship and just, it's not a name, is it? Welcome to Energizer Life Church. It's there, the energy of the life. So guys, keep up the great work. It was fantastic this morning. See you jumping all over the place and really enjoying life. Lord, as we come to your word this morning, we pray that you'd minister in our hearts. Lord, let us be energized by your word. Let us find life through your word this morning. Lord, we don't want this to be Energizer Life Church in name only. We want it to be indeed and in everything that we do. Let your energy and your life flow into us this morning because we ask it in your name.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So you're cruising on a boat, and as you're cruising along, the spray from the deep blue water is refreshing on your skin on a perfect 28-degree day. And you're cruising at a nice 10 knots through the water. And some of you are out there getting your lines ready. You're ready to go fishing. All those fishermen and fisherwomen, where are you? Give me a wave. Are you getting ready yet? Getting ready to throw the line in? And for others, there's the half-clad sun goddesses who are getting their deck chairs ready to soak up some vitamin D. Give me a wave. I see a few guys waving. That's good. A few sun goddesses here. For others, you're bookworms. Where's all the bookworms? They've already disappeared. They've got their books out reading the latest release, the latest thriller, the latest bestseller. And of course, there's the socialites. They've already popped their corks and they're drinking some bubbly and they're chatting away and they're laughing and just enjoying the social atmosphere. Where's all the socialites? Yeah, a few of you is there. And then, of course, there's the addicts. I'm talking about the food addicts. You're already planning the barbecue. You're already getting the steak ready to sizzle. Yeah, I see a few hands. Big mistake. Big mistake. You're on HMAS Energizer. And there has been reports of enemy attack, snipers from the shore. There's even been spotted some submarines in the area. Enemy submarines. But somehow we think if we ignore it, it'll go away. Guess what? The enemy doesn't disappear because we ignore him. This morning I want to talk about confidence in battle. And I want to look at the life of David. I want to look at David, who took on Goliath. In 1 Samuel 17, there's a story of David and Goliath. And I want to look at what was the secret of David in gaining confidence in battle. And the very first thing I noticed that David in confidence in battle was that he faced the fact.
Yeah.
You've got to stop living in denial. You've got to acknowledge that you're in battle.
Yeah.
It's interesting because in 1 Samuel 17:20 it says that Israel was going out to the battle position shouting its war cries. They were posturing. They were looking like they were in battle, but they'd go out and then when the enemy threatened them, they'd all run away and sit in their tents all day. What did they do for the next 24 hours? It said that Goliath come out once a day, would challenge them, and they'd all disappear back to their tents. I guess some of them pulled out their fishing lines. Some of them pulled out their deck chairs and sunned themselves. Others were having a barbie. I'm not sure what they were doing, but they weren't engaging in battle. And they certainly weren't facing the fact that there was a warfare on and that they were under attack by the enemy. And the first thing you've got to do if you're going to have confidence in battle is you've got to face the facts. This morning, what's your battle? What's your battle? What are the things that you're facing? Is it health? Is it a habit? Is it finance? Is it relationship? It was funny when I started preparing this about a month ago. Hello. That wasn't the enemy, okay? When I started preparing this, all of a sudden, and I wrote down, and as I typed in battles in health, I sort of said, well, thank you, God, I don't have any health battles. And within a couple of days, bingo. There was this huge attack. All these funny things started happening in my body. It absolutely terrified me. I ended up ringing up a friend. Is this one going to be better, is it? You want me to turn this one off? Hello. And all these funny things started happening. And so I rang a friend, went and had a prayer, went and saw my doctor, who sent me to a specialist. And so we started having a good look at it. The good news is it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. It could have been, though. But the thing is, you've got to face the facts, because ignoring it doesn't make it go away. What's the habits that you're struggling with? What's the finances? What about in your relationship? You know, so often, you know, even as couples, we can just ignore and ignore the symptoms, ignore the facts. I've heard it said that if you want to know how your relationship's going, you ask your wife, but they tell you you should be sitting down before you ask her, because she'll probably tell you the truth. Isn't it true that men will live in denial more than often women will? In that regard, we've got to face the facts. I love it about Abraham, where it talks about Abraham, that great man of faith. That it says in Romans chapter 4 that against all hope, in hope he believed, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact. Verse 20 says, yet he did not waver through unbelief. Verse 21, being fully persuaded that God had power to deliver on what he had promised. And friends, if we're going to be confident in battle, we've got to learn to face the facts. Ignorance is no defense. Ignorance won't bring you confidence in the battle. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. The good news says, in order to stop Satan from getting the upper hand over us, for we know what his plans are. The New English Translation says, so that we may not be exploited by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. Friends, ignorance. Being on the HMAS Energizer and pulling out the fishing lines and sitting on the sun deck chairs and ignoring that there's an enemy doesn't make us safe and certainly doesn't give us confidence in battle. Faith doesn't deny a problem's existence. It denies it a place of influence. There's nothing wrong in faith with facing the facts. The second thing we've got to do if we're going to be confident in battle is you've got to face your fears. It's interesting, isn't it, here? In 1 Samuel 17:24, that when the Israelites saw the man, Goliath, they all ran from him in great fear. They tell us that fear will either cause us to have the flight or fight syndrome. What's it doing for you? You know, fear is the enemy's greatest weapon against us. But you know that fear is the enemy posturing? It's him pretending, coming out and threatening. We all know that through Christ, he's destroyed the enemy and we have the victory. But he still likes to come and place fear upon us. Psalm 11 verse 2 says, the enemy shoots from the shadows at the upright in heart. He shoots from the shadows. Why does he shoot from the shadows? Because he doesn't want to come out in the light. He doesn't want to be seen. That's why it's good to face the facts. It's good to get it all on the table. It's good to understand who and what we're fighting against. But you know, fear is a requirement. Let me say this, that fear is actually a prerequisite to boldness. You know, I often hear people say that we've got to be fearless for Jesus and all that. Well, I don't quite measure up to that. I often have fear in my lives. When all these funny things happen in my body, I've got to be honest, fear hit me, bang. But I fronted it, I faced it and worked it through. Fear is something that will come upon us from time to time. And if we're honest, it happens. But you know that fear is a prerequisite to boldness. As a matter of fact, you can't have boldness without fear. The dictionary says this of boldness. It said it is a basic sense of doing or bearing that which is fearful or difficult. It's being daring. And so to have fear is an opportunity for us to not flight or to run as they did here, but it gives us an opportunity to stand. In Acts 4 and verse 29, it says, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with
great boldness. I love that scripture because here they were praying for great boldness. You know why they were praying for great boldness? Because of all the threats that were being made against them, there was great fear. And they knew they need great boldness to face and confront the enemy. In Ephesians 6 and verse 10, it talks about, and to verse 18, and I won't read it all, but it talks about putting on the full armor of God that you can take your stand against the enemy's schemes. That when the day of evil comes, you can stand your ground. And then at the end it says, and after you've done everything to stand, just keep standing. Just keep standing. And so when fear comes, don't run, stand and take your stand and face it full on. We've got to face our fears. Boldness is facing your fears and refusing to run. I love that story in 2 Samuel where it talks about that how that the enemy had drawn up all its armies against the Israelites. And it says that all of the Israelites had run in fear except for one man, Shammah. And he decided he was going to defend his patch of lintels. And he stood and he confronted him and he faced it and he defeated him because he refused to run when fear came upon him. And if we're going to have confidence in the battle, we've not only got to face the facts, but we've got to face our fears and recognize that we serve an awesome God. The third thing we need to do is not only face the facts and face our fears, but we've got to face our foes. You know, David's confidence in battle didn't come because as a shepherd boy, he just sat singing worship songs out in the wilderness. That might have been part of it because it grew a relationship with God. But David's confidence grew because when things came against him, he knew what it was to go from victory to victory, from strength to strength, from glory to glory. There is a progression. And it doesn't quite say it, but I believe that David started with his slingshot practicing on a Coke can. Right? Well, he might not have had a Coke can back then, but he had some other target. And he became an expert at knocking it out. And one day a fox come along and tried to take one of the little lambs and bingo, he took it out. And then there was a bear and a lion. It got more serious. But David confronted the foes that came against him and he grew strength and took strength from those battles. He didn't just rock up at the battle and see Goliath there and after having sung some worship choruses go, that wouldn't be bad to bring that guy down to size, would it? You know? It just wasn't some fanciful thinking. In David's life, because he had learnt what it was to face his foes. And in our personal lives, you know, David was unseen when he was living in the wilderness. And when he took on these foes, there was no one else witnessing it. But in his private life, he had learned what it was to face the foe and to take on Goliath was just one more step up to what was facing him, to what the challenge was. The foundation stones for us being confident in battle is to fight what seems sometimes to be insignificant battles. And sometimes in our private life, there are things that attack us that we go, oh, that's not worth fighting, and we give in. And we don't stand and fight it. Friends, if we're going to become confident in battle, we have to be like David and learn what it is to face the foe, that we stand and face him, and we learn to fight, and fight with all that is within us, and defeat it. Because as we do, it will help us as we grow on. And as bigger battles come our way, we will grow in our confidence and in our ability to face the enemy. The interesting thing was that Saul tried dressing David in his gear. Interesting, wasn't it? He said, well, David, if you're going to go out and fight, you better put on a man's fighting gear. And David so wisely said, I cannot go out in these. I am not used to them. In other words, David said, I've developed my style, I've developed my skill, I've developed a way of overcoming the enemy. And you know, so often in life, when we come to a crisis in life, it's no use running and trying on someone else's theory or trying to use someone else's experience. If we're going to be confident in battle, we've got to learn to face the enemy on a daily basis. We've got to learn to face the enemy as he comes in various areas of our life and to overcome him that will give us the confidence in ourselves of facing the enemy. You know, it's great reading great stories of victories that other people have had. And I do it. It's great to be encouraged, isn't it? But friends, you can't fight it from someone else's experience. You've got to fight the enemy from your own. You've got to begin with those small areas within your life. It may be, as I said, it may be health. It may be a habit. It may be finance. It may be a relationship. You've got to begin to fight through. And as you begin to fight through in those areas, you discover the joy of winning and going from victory to victory. Hey, as couples here, how many of you have never had a battle? Come on. How many of you just breezed through your relationship and everything's been smooth? Or how many of you have faced a crisis and it's been difficult where you've got to dig deep and you've got to fight through? It's not easy facing the facts. It's not easy facing your foe, and it's not your wife or your husband. But there are times you've got to fight through. And as you do, it's fantastic. You see, how often do we see that people, they get into difficulty and they run? I'll just run. I'll just go find someone else. But as you fight through, you go from strength to strength, from victory to victory. And you know, I've witnessed over years in ministry, I've seen even other people in ministry who have a relationship difficulty and they decide to run because it's going to be easier and they've found someone nicer. And I've talked to some of those people years down the track and they say, I wished I hadn't run. Where I ended up was worse than where I started. I'm still fighting the same demons. Because you see, friends, it's like the children of Israel. If we don't fight, if we don't stand our ground, we're just going to keep going around in circles. The enemy's going to keep coming back at us. We've got to learn what it is to fight through. And I'm challenging us this morning to take up and fight the battles that are before us. I love that story of Gideon, who was fearful and he was hiding. The Lord comes along and says, "The Lord is with you, you mighty warrior." Hey, sometimes we don't feel like that mighty warrior, do we? But we need to hear those words because within us, God has placed within each of us a mighty warrior, and we have to learn what it is to stand up and to fight the enemy. We have to learn to stand our ground and not run, and not run from the enemy and his attacks and his intimidation. Notice Gideon's thinking. He said, if the Lord is with us, why then is all this happening to us? You ever notice that God didn't even answer him? God didn't even go into debate. You know, Gideon throws out this theological question, if you're with us, then why is all this happening? God's answer, go in the strength you have and save Israel. And so often, we can look and we can start to try and find the answers and go, why is all this happening to me? God says, you're mighty warrior, go in the strength that you have and save whoever. He goes, oh God, you're kidding. You don't know who I am. I'm the weakest and I'm the least in my family. Give me a break. God says, no, you need to break the mindset. You're a mighty warrior and you can stand and fight this. And we need to face our foes, friends, because we need to find that mighty warrior that God has placed within all of us. And today I'm challenging us to fight our battles and to find that warrior that God has placed within us, that we don't run from the battles, that we face them and confront them and we fight through. Because I know this, that when we stand and we fight the little battles, that eventually we're going to be faced with bigger battles. And you see, the bigger battles are not just personal. David began by facing the personal battles. But now he faced a battle that had implications for the whole of Israel. And the reason I'm challenging you to face your battles and to fight through this morning is because it's not just all about you. It's about you. It's about your family. It can be about your neighborhood, it can be about your community, it can be about your church, it can be beyond that. And God wants us to stand and fight and bring deliverance and save, as he said to Gideon, go in the strength that you have and save Israel. Who will you save if you learn what it is to stand and fight today? Come on, you mighty warrior, face the facts, face your fears and face your foes and go in the strength that you have and save. I like what David said. He He said, the Lord who delivered me from the lion and the bear will deliver me from you. Confidence in battle comes as we overcome those individual battles as we face them. The fourth thing we have to face if we're going to develop confidence in battle is we have to face your fighter. I'm not talking about the enemy. I'm talking about face the one who's fighting for us. Face your fighter. David said in Samuel verse 37, the Lord will deliver me. In verse 45, he said, I come against you in the name of the Lord. And in verse 47, he said, it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's. We've got to recognize that the battle is the Lord's, that we're not fighting alone, that we're not on our own, that we have a strength that's greater than us. You know, I love the fact as I read through Scripture, and as I start to read the stories of the battles that took place throughout Scripture, is that every one of them was bigger than they had strength for. When they went into the Promised Land, why did 10 of the spies freak out? Because the enemy was bigger than they were and stronger than they were. Joshua, he faced a walled and fortified city that was stronger and impenetrable. Gideon, he faced an intimidating foe who had beaten them in the past and defeated them in the past. Elisha was surrounded by a huge army, and there was just him and his household. And his servant went out and saw the army, and he came running in absolutely petrified. And he says to Elijah, we're done, we're finished. There's this massive army that surrounded us. Elisha goes, oh God, open his eyes. Let him see that there's more with us than there is with them. David was in Ziklag. His men were tired. They'd been to war and they returned. And another enemy had come in behind them and taken their women and their children and their livestock. It was bigger than they were. We read in the war between Abijah and Jeroboam that they were outnumbered 2-1. And yet the scripture says that they won because the men of Judah were victorious because they relied on the Lord. The fact is, friends, that no matter how big our enemy is, they're no match for the Almighty. And we have to face our fighter. We have to face that proposition that God is there to fight for us. I love it when David, writing in Psalms, over and over again, he reiterates the fact that God fought for him. In Psalm 18 and verse 17, he said, he rescued me from my powerful enemies, for my foes who were too strong for me. Psalm 18:39, he said, you arm me with strength for battle. Psalm 44, he says, through you we push back our enemies. Through your name we trample our foes. I do not trust in my bow. My sword does not bring me victory, but you give us victory over our enemies. Psalm 60, he says, with God we gain the victory, and he will trample down our enemy. In Psalm 64, he says, preserve my life from the fear of the enemy. In Psalm 105, he says, he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. In Psalm 136, he says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. He freed us from our enemies. His love endures forever. Friends, we serve an awesome God. We serve a God that is powerful. We serve a God who is stronger than any enemy or any foe that can come against us. And we need to be like Gideon and raise up as a warrior and stand in the strength that God gives us and recognize that we can defeat our enemies. Paul, writing, he says in Corinthians, where he talks about, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Like David, when he recorded, my enemy might be stronger, but through God, I win the victory. I love the Message's interpretation of this 2 Corinthians verse. It says, my grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. Once I heard that, I quit focusing on the handicap and began appreciating the gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weakness. The weaker I get, the stronger I become. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Face your fighter. Fix your eyes on Jesus. In verse 3 it says, consider him endured such opposition so you don't grow weary and lose heart. The message there just simply says, when you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again, that long litany of hostility that he plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. He goes on to encourage us to endure hardship, to strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. And in the last verse he says, therefore, since we have a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God, for our God is a consuming fire. You know, friends, to be confident in battle, we have to face the facts. No more living in denial. No more trying to ignore or fantasize. We have to face our fears. We have to stand our ground. No more running. Let's defend the turf that God has given us. And we have to face the foes that we face on a daily basis. We need to learn what it is to move from victory to victory. And we need to learn to face our fighter, because the battle is the Lord's. God bless you.